This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Man-Made Worlds. Virtual reality games allow people to immerse themselves into different worlds. It's fun, but lots of players say it could be much more than that. It could have therapeutic value. Jad Slayman looked into this.
Keir Simmons is a new dad living near Houston, and for most of his life, he's come off as a bit of a jerk.
Did you ever watch the show Big Bang Theory?
It's a network TV sitcom, number one in America for a while.
So when that show first came out, I had friends calling me up saying, dude, you should watch this show. That Sheldon guy's you.
If you haven't seen it, Sheldon is the main character, a super smart nerd who can be awkward and abrasive.
But you don't think I'm condescending, do you?
Well...
Oh, I'm sorry. Condescending...
I know what it means!
Keir works in tech, and like the Sheldon character, he's from Texas.
A lot of it does unfortunately line up, and so I was like, oh, okay, that's fair.
Keir doesn't mean to come off the way he does. He has Asperger syndrome, a disorder on the autism spectrum that makes social interaction really tricky.
The closest description I've heard from anybody about what my experience is when I hear a comedian talk about going into like a group and they kill, or going into a group and they like completely bomb, like it's just brutal. And I was like, wow, that actually, most of my life I'm bombing, and then I have like these occasional times where I'm killing.
When Keir would play video games with people online, things were different, especially in PlanetSide 2, this massive shooter. You can yell out to players near you in the game with a voice chat feature.
And I would just kind of throw on my best monster truck rally impression.
I ask him for a demonstration.
It's your man, Pooh Nanners, your Texas caster and hype master. Rocket see you live from Andor Excavation Site. This rockin' bunch
Keir
of
is, of course, Pooh Nanners. To his surprise, though, people didn't just laugh. They actually listened.
And people would just flock, and we would just, like locusts, just wash over the land and just destroy. And I'd get people to do all kinds of hilarious stuff.
He could be Pooh Nanners, this monster truck commander online, at ease with people he'd never met. But offline, he was still Sheldon. Then, a new type of gaming platform came out, the Oculus Rift virtual reality headset. And it had this early game called Echo Arena.
In zero gravity, players fly faster.
It's a futuristic sports game, like Ultimate Frisbee in space, all very Tron-looking. Players rocket around trying to get this disc to a goal, bash each other.
And it looked absolutely wild, and it looked beautiful.
Keir had barely started flying around in the virtual world when he took a bad fall in the real world. He was fixing something on his roof and thought,
I'm just going to take a few steps backwards, and then I'll get like a line of sight on it. And I wake up on the ground with EMTs putting a neck brace on me and a broken leg. I fell 25 feet.
He had surgery, got an opioid prescription during recovery, and when that ran out, he went into withdrawal, had his first panic attack, and developed an intense depression and anxiety.
So with depression, right, they told me that I needed to be around people.
They being his therapists. But when dealing with depression, I mean, it can be hard to even go outside. And remember, Keir was never exactly good with people to begin with. But he had his VR kit, all set up with this space ultimate frisbee game. So he decides to go online and join a match.
I'm just sweating to death playing. I'm having a good time, camaraderie with people. What I see people do when they play like basketball together.
He says it felt like real social interaction.
Like I'm having that experience, playing sports with other people and making friends. And it's doing a lot for my mental health and a lot for my well-being.
VR just made everything more convenient, simpler.
In VR, you put the headset on and you're just there. Any moment that you have, you definitely also don't have to do any of the other things that you get anxiety about and freak out about. You're like, I have to go take a shower, I have to do my hair, I have to put on some clothes, are my clothes even clean? You know, like you don't have to worry about any of that. You just put the headset on and play.
He talks about VR like it's some lifeline he stumbled onto in the depths of his depression and anxiety. And Keir, he's big in the VR gaming scene. He runs a commentary site and told me he's not alone. Lots of VR gamers are finding a kind of unexpected relief. I wanted to know how exactly VR works, so I reached out to Jeremy Bailenson, director of the Virtual Human Interaction Lab at Stanford University in California. He tells me about a demo he did for a bunch of legal types back in 2001.
We had a federal judge who was probably in his 60s and a big guy.
The team boots up a simulation that puts a deep chasm in the middle of the room.
We then drop a plank across the chasm where they basically have to walk over this rickety plank to get to the other side.
The honorable whoever starts making his way across the virtual plank, but slips off the side.
His reaction was to dive at a 45 degree angle in the middle of the floor in front of all of these judges and lawyers.
Jeremy actually caught the guy.
Luckily, he didn't get hurt nobody got sent to jail. He didn't sue us. But this illustrates this concept of presence.
Presence, Jeremy tells me, is when the player is no longer aware of the medium, in this case, a VR rig. All they're left with is the experience. When you're using VR, he says, you're not guiding an avatar across a plank like in a video game. Instead, as far as your brain is concerned, you are walking a plank.
I can tell you a funny joke that I give at talks, and it's not actually funny, but what are the five most important features that make a VR experience effective?
No idea.
Tracking.
Tracking. You move your body and the image you see changes. Turn your head, lean this way, lift your arm. The image the headset shows you reflects that in real time.
The brain has got dedicated real estate that is about moving your body. So the sensory motor cortex, there's the word motor in it and obviously the word sensory in it. And this is a part of your brain that has, you know, for as long as people have been people, we've engaged with scenes, physical scenes, by moving our bodies and by getting feedback from that movement.
He says VR, as opposed to traditional media, taps right into this basic part of our wiring to make things feel just real.
It's a simple medium in the sense that you're just doing the same things that you've always done out in nature. You're just getting separate perceptual feedback that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So VR uses the natural evolutionary mechanisms that just we've always been used when we've explored scenes.
Jeremy sees VR revolutionizing all these different corners of daily life, from how we think about business meetings to how we take vacations. He even had a hand in a program that trains rookie retail workers for the horrors of Black Friday. But I'm interested in the therapeutic potential, and so is this guy.
Sure. My name is Skip Rizzo. I'm a clinical psychologist and neuropsychologist.
He's director of the Medical Virtual Reality Lab at the University of Southern California. For years, he's used VR to help treat veterans with PTSD. He says, put one such patient in an fMRI and cue up the right audio-visual cues.
We see hyperactivation of the amygdala, the fight-or-flight area in the brain.
Classic example, a vet with PTSD may see some trash on the side of a California highway, but feel a fear that's as real as the fear they felt on an Iraqi highway as an IED disguised as garbage exploded.
They react as if it's the real thing.
For people with chronic PTSD, these triggers come often and linger for years. A common treatment is exposure therapy. A patient describes a troubling event or source of anxiety to a therapist over and over again, imagining it, confronting it in a safe setting until it starts to lose its bite. In VR, you don't have to imagine.
We have 14 different worlds that represent different contexts in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Vets carry a prop gun. There's rigs for vehicles, even a smell device that produces scents of gunpowder and burning trash.
The clinician can ignite explosions around them, IEDs at different distances, intensities, can have jets fly over helicopters.
Skip says using VR has accelerated treatment for his vets when compared to the traditional talk and imagine methods. He says that's critical because many patients will drop out of treatment too early when it doesn't seem to be helping quickly enough. I ask him about VR gamers, these players finding relief. Could this be possible? Short answer, yes.
I like to say that we can get people to confront things in VR that they wouldn't do in the real world, all right? To go into a social situation with a lot of people, to get a person with social phobia to do that or somebody with autism to do that, they're so anxious, they may avoid it, they may use coping strategies that are less effective, and it's not a therapeutic exposure.
But he emphasizes guys like Keir who feel like they're finding therapeutic value in VR, they've only discovered a tool, not a cure. And VR, it's a tool most useful when handled by a clinician. Still, he says if VR can help people recognize the potential of getting actual clinical help, it's a good thing.
A large majority of the people with mental health problems never see the inside of a therapy office. You know, they go through life, you know, managing and getting by and so forth. And that's mind-numbing.
So the need is there. The tech has potential. Is it at all surprising that, yes, VR-based therapy, turns out there's an app for that, or at least there's some on the way?
It's a social platform where users can immerse themselves in and interact with each other, everything in real time.
That's Sever Osfranjo, founder and CEO at Universus VR. It's a digital health startup with a focus on social anxiety. The program makes an avatar of you based on a photo, then puts you in a virtual group therapy session with other patients and a clinician. Eventually, the therapy extends into the real world.
So, for example, if you would be a person that suffers from social anxiety, one of your homeworks would be on Friday night, go out to a pub with two people that you know, and you guys have to join a group of two or three more people that you don't know.
Severus, really all the experts I spoke to, see VR becoming a regular, everyday component of therapies. As for Kier, aka Poo Nanners, he has a real-life therapist he sees in person. VR hasn't made its way into his regular treatment, which, it's important to note, he still relies on. He still struggles and works hard to stay well. But he says leaning on VR helped him stay well enough to do the hard work of therapy, of taking care of himself. And the people around him, they've noticed a change in him.
So what had happened was while I was playing those VR esports games and making friends and getting that extra social interaction that I needed on a constant basis, it was that Christmas when my sisters came to visit.
They visit every year at the holidays. Kier comes from a big family.
That was the time that they had noticed that I had changed.
Pre-VR Kier and post. He says they weren't too specific. He just seemed nicer, easier to talk to. But there was one instance he shared with me.
One of my sisters was having a panic attack, and I had noticed that she had disappeared, so I went to go find her. It was something we had said.
It was over something trivial, but that's just how panic disorders often work. Another one of his sisters, Serena, was trying to help, but
she's talking the way that I've talked most of my life, which is very fast, not a lot of emotion in it, just very, you know, directly talking to you and explaining to you why you're wrong, usually.
Not what someone coming out of a panic attack wants to hear. Kier stepped in.
And that's, I said to her exactly what I just said to you. Serena, you can't hear it, but in your tone of voice and your word choice, it sounds like you're attacking her. I know you're not, but that's how it's being received.
He asked her to leave the room just for a second to calm things down, and it worked.
And all of my three other sisters all just looked at me dumbfounded.
Not bad for a guy who's always being compared to Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory.
Bazinga.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, that's very comforting.
For The Pulse, I'm Jad Slaman.